The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is, as we said, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's Donal Kavanagh with you until 12 noon today. We're here with all the day's news and your views, of course, as well. Also, we'll be reflecting on what happened in Croke Park yesterday and even more importantly, what potentially can happen in Croke Park in 13 days' time. So a lot of talk about that. Brendan Devaney is obviously here, as usual, just after 11. We'll be speaking to Oisin before that and we'll be talking
Ireland about... Ireland final. And the lead up.
I beg your pardon. Yes, as we said, there is an All-Ireland final and there will be a lead-up and we'll be talking about the lead-up to the All-Ireland final over the course of the programme this morning. Lots to come on that. Of course, your views and your perceptions on the day's news and your thoughts on what's happening locally, across the country and across the world are really important to us. And if you want to get in touch, you can text us 086 60 25000. That number is good for WhatsApp messages as well. You can call us on 074 91 25000, 0035374 91 25000 if you're outside of the dialing area. If you want to email us, of course, you can email comments@highlandradio.com. We're on social media. We're Highland Hub on Facebook. We're at Highland Radio on X or Twitter, call it what you will. And of course, you can stream the show on our Facebook pages and on our YouTube channel as well, which reminds me, press the presenter button, Donald. There you go. So we are available to watch. You can watch it, as Greg always points out, on your smart TV or your Fire Stick or any device you may have. You can watch it on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, and also on our Facebook pages. And that'll be available, of course, then to watch back all the way through the day and into the night as well. It's a Monday, and we start the programme with a look at the papers, and the Monday edition of the Derry People is out. Front page stories include a story on water in Falkara and shortages there, an ongoing problem we've discussed very often on the news and on the programme here, and we'll be touching back on that story a little bit later on in the show. Also, speculation continues that Patrick O'Gallagher, a deputy and former Lascan Corda, may throw his hat in the ring for a presidential nomination. Our understanding is Fianna Fáil won't make a decision on that until the end of next month. We know that Fine Gael have begun the nomination process and we'll get a clearer picture later this week as to who the Fine Gael candidate will be. It looks at this point certain it's going to be Mairead McGuinness, particularly after Sean Kelly said he wasn't going to go forward. It's now looking as though Mairead McGuinness will be the only nominee and therefore there won't be a contest per se. That remains to be seen. Catherine Connolly, the former Lascan Corda, yeah, she is a former Lascan Corda. She still sits in the chair occasionally and she's an independent TD from Galway. She has indicated she will be seeking a nomination. Now, it looks as though she's got the support of the Social Democrats. That's 11 votes in the bag straight away, as well as her own. She's got to get 20 Oireachtas members. She's got the support over the weekend of Deputy Charles Ward of 100% redress. There'll be several senators, I would imagine, will be backing her as well. And I would be making certain presumptions about senators not too far away from home that I would imagine Eileen Flynn, for instance, would be backing Catherine Connolly. That remains to be seen, but I would imagine that would be the case. People before profit coming out in her support as well. So I think it's fairly certain Catherine Connolly is going to get a nomination. Mairead McGuinness will get a nomination. Big question is going to be, of course, will Mary Lou McDonald run for Sinn Féin? And when that first was mooted just over a week and a half ago, I will be honest, I was sceptical. I thought to myself, I didn't see Mary Lou McDonald stepping aside from her role in the Dáil and her aspiration to be the first female Taoiseach. But the more we listen and go through the figures and the possible permutations, the more potentially possible it seems that Mary Lou McDonald may be in the running for the presidency, and that's very much one where we'll have to wait and see what happens. Let's look at the papers. As I said, the front pages of the Donegal News, that presidential speculation about Pat the Cope and also the Falkara water. An interesting story when you go into the paper, into page 5, request for inquest into man who went missing off Donegal coast last year. A file is to be sent to the Minister for Justice requesting that an inquest be held into the death of a Remelton man whose body has never been recovered since he went missing after going out in a kayak last October. On Friday, what's known as a submissions hearing into the disappearance of accountant Paul Buchanan was held at Letterkenny Coroner's Court. The coroner, Dr. Dennis McCauley, explained that he'd gone out kayaking in 2024, October 3rd to be precise, but went missing. And despite extensive searches, his body has never been found. And that's left his family in a state of limbo. And I can only say how horrible that must be for that poor family. we've all experienced loss, but most of us have at the very least been able to bring the body of our loved one to our home or a funeral home, and we've been able to mourn them, we've been able to bring them to a church or our chosen place of worship or commemoration, and we've been able to give them the burial that we've chosen to give them or the cremation that we've chosen to give them. We have had the opportunity to mourn them, to grieve over them, to respectfully and according to their wishes and our own, lay them to rest. People in the case of Paul Buchanan's family and others like them have not had that opportunity, and what a nightmare that must be. And all we can say is it's easy to throw your thoughts and prayers around and say your thoughts are with people, but very much I think everyone's thoughts are going to be with a family who is in that situation. Let's look at the front of the Derry News. Redress needed for a tsunami of defective homes. And this is an issue that gets discussed every now and again. It comes onto the public consciousness for a while and then it fades, but it's always there. And it's the number of families from Northern Ireland, particularly Derry, but also from Tyrone, Fermanagh, etc., who have holiday homes in Inishowen or other parts of Donegal, and their blocks are crumbling, and the problem's been raised with members of Derry City and Stranraer District Council. It's been raised in the Assembly in Stormont, and at the moment there is no mechanism whereby they can apply for redress, because the redress scheme as brought forward by government is a scheme geared toward your primary domiciliary residence, your home, basically. It's a scheme for homes and a scheme geared at homeowners. And I suppose it's right that homeowners should take priority. But there are many, many people in that situation where they have second homes, they have holiday homes, investment homes, they've put a lot of money into those homes, and they are now in a situation where defective concrete is having a huge impact, and there is redress needed there. A delegation of the 100% Redress Party has made a presentation on the issue to a workshop of councillors in the Guildhall, and we will indeed be speaking to Deputy Charles Ward on the programme a little bit later on, and we'll certainly be raising this particular issue with him as well. Moving to the Nationals, one of the great things on a day like today is looking at some of the headlines in the Nationals with regards to sport, and I want to hit the tabloids in a few minutes, and when we do, we'll just take a look at some of the headlines pertaining to Donegal's victory over Meath in Croke Park yesterday, and some really, really interesting headlines, and I have to say some very clever headline writers out there still. The Irish Independent this morning, though, there's a big story, it's on the front page, there's a major story inside as well, and it's something that maybe is having more of an issue down the country in Dublin and in the bigger cities, but it's something that could start to have an impact here as well. And that's electricity provision for people building new houses. And it says families are locked out of new homes waiting for a link to the power grid. Caroline O'Doherty writes in the Independent today that half the country's electricity substations have little or no capacity to connect new housing or other developments. Analysis of the network shows it came to light as 80 families were waiting months to move into homes in County Laois, with many facing eviction and potential loss of mortgage approval. There is a major story on the inside of the paper as well, and it points to a very, very difficult problem. Now, I know here in Donegal, we often speak about the capacity of water supply, sewage systems, wastewater, etc. But electricity is a huge one here as well. And as we're seeking to tackle a housing crisis in this country, we need to be looking at the availability of electricity and power, the availability of water, the availability of other infrastructure and resources. And this is something which it mightn't be the biggest problem in Donegal at the moment. But look, we all know, here's the situation. The big problem down the country in Dublin, etc., today, almost inevitably, is going to be the big problem in Donegal tomorrow or 2 days down the line. We'll know, for instance, years ago, it was always, oh, rents down the country are terrible, but here it's not too bad up here in the northwest. The rents aren't too bad because here the rents are the cheapest in the country, and look at the rent in Dublin compared to the rent in Donegal, and now suddenly it's, oh my God, look at the rent in Donegal, it's reaching Dublin proportions. So, you know, problems like that, it mightn't be Donegal's problem today, but if action isn't taken today, it could well be Donegal's problem tomorrow. That's something that needs to be, I think, have a very close eye kept on it, and I'm sure Donegal County Council and others are doing just that. Interesting story on the front of the Irish Times this morning. We will be getting back to this a little bit later on the show. A belief of consent may cease as a defence to rape. Ellen Coyne writes that an honest belief that an alleged victim had consented to sex may no longer be a legal defence in rape cases if proposals being considered by the government become law. The Department of Justice and the Office of the Attorney General are considering a proposal to significantly modify the state's consent laws. Now, that could be a major, major issue. And we'll be discussing that again a little bit later on the programme too. Also, Ireland urges EU to avoid escalating tariff row. Trump's weekend threat of 30% tariffs. Simon Harris says it's a negotiating tactic. Now, I know there's been suggestions that one of the issues with Donald Trump is Donald Trump makes pronouncements and then rolls back on them. So Donald Trump will make a threat. Oh, I'm going to impose this. I'm going to impose that. I'm going to impose the other. Then he doesn't follow through. There was a suggestion last week. He was talking at one point about 200% tariffs on pharmaceuticals coming into the US, and there was almost no reaction whatsoever on the market. And some analysts were suggesting the reason for that was that the market was going, yeah, he said all that before and nothing happened. And that if you look at the markets, that sometimes the market reaction to something like that is interesting. And when Trump made what on the face of it was a huge pronouncement with regards to pharmaceutical tariffs, the market, yeah, whatever. It's just Donald on a Wednesday. It's what he does. Remains to be seen if this happens, if these new tariffs being imposed, he says, on the EU from the beginning of next month come into force. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Let's move now to the we'll do the mail first. Patient assaulted by A&E paramedic. Gardaí are investigating allegations that a woman was drugged before a sex attack when brought to a hospital's emergency department. Now, there's not too much detail on the story and the location, etc., but that is a horrific story, and we'll be keeping an eye on that one, because that's an absolutely horrific story. Looking inside the Irish Daily Mail, 6 children killed in Gaza strike by IDF drone, 10 Palestinians, including 10 children killed yesterday while collecting water in an Israel attack. I mean, that story has just become that horrific everyday story where you look at it and it's almost like we're becoming immune to it now, because every day we're hearing of children killed. This is people killed by, and let's just say this again, because I think we really have to focus on this, and I know there's been a lot of discussion about it. They were collecting water. That's what they were doing. Collecting something that I, before I came in here this morning, went into the kitchen, brought my water container. I filled it with water. I brought it in so that I could have a drink of water over the course of the show. And do you know how much I thought about it? I thought nothing about it, because it's a thing I do whenever I come to work. I'll bring some water. I'll take a drink of water. I'll just grab some water out of the tap. It's the most inane, commonplace, ordinary thing you do every hour. You go to your tap several times a day. You don't think. Imagine being in that situation where a parent says to a child, run down and get me some water. Imagine saying to your child, run down and get some water. And at the back of your mind, you're wondering, will there be an attack? Will they come home? It's just, sometimes I think we're almost immune to the horrific, horrific enormity of that situation. Okay, let's go to Irish Daily Star this morning. One of the Star's own photographers was killed in a road tragedy at the weekend. Our hearts are broken. Tributes pour in for award-winning photographer Mick O'Neill. That's on the front of the Irish Star, and that's that story on the front, indeed, of the Irish Daily Mirror as well. But it's interesting to look at the various tabloids, the headlines with regards to Croke Park yesterday and the match between Donegal and Meath. Really, really interesting. The Irish Daily Star front page, Royals flushed. Then you look at the back page, done and dusted. Obviously, done being the first four letters of Donegal. Irish Daily Mirror this morning, Kingdom come on, there's the Kerry, but then the back, I think this is possibly my favourite, Jim and Tonic, Paddy credits boss for reviving Donegal. Jim and Tonic, I like that. I think that's a bit clever. And then front of the Irish Sun, the thrills of Donegal. And then you look at the back, Jim plan works out. And Paddy McBearty hailing Jim McGuinness for ending Donegal's era of underachievement. Some great pictures too. Dara O'Buil, I think. There's a picture of Dara O'Buil on a lot of the papers this morning. Fists clenched, mouth open. You can just tell that's that sort of, come on, we're doing this. Great, great picture. And congratulations, obviously, to the Donegal team. We'll be speaking about the match and its aftermath over the course of the programme. So we won't dwell over much on that. So that's where your papers are looking. If you were looking at the Highland Radio News feed over the weekend, or indeed other local news feeds as well, you'd have seen a story from Bundoran where the access to the Bundoran lifeboat station was blocked by cars. Now, I know it was a great weekend. I know people want to be on the beach, but for the love of God, of all the places to park, blocking off potentially access to a lifeboat to get into the water. One wonders how that can happen, but sadly it didn't. It happened in Bundoran, joined on the line by Killian O'Kelly, who is a member of the Bundoran RNLI crew. Killian, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
Killian, how serious was this situation? Was there a point where you would have actually had difficulty getting the boat onto the water if a call had come through?
Unfortunately, yes. There's quite our equipment, our boat and our tractor, if you added them together, they're about 15 metres long. It's quite a big rig, if you like, to launch. And it's stored in the station. Our tractor and our lifeboat are stored side by side. So it's quite a job, quite a mission to take it all out and launch it. And I suppose one of the things for your listeners to understand is that, you know, we get no notice for an emergency call. If someone rings 999, the Coast Guard page, our volunteer crew, they have to come down to the station. They have to manoeuvre the boat and the trailer out. And for that reason, we have the hatched yellow line box outside the station. But unfortunately, some people did actually park in that yellow box and block our equipment. Thankfully, no call out was disrupted, but it could have, with the good weather, obviously, unfortunately, with so many people at the coast, unfortunately, lifeboats are needed more, and the risk goes up with the amount of people going to the coast. So it was a very unfortunate situation.
I mean, I have to ask the question, as you say, you have a tractor to actually bring the boat down to the waterline. Is it a matter that if necessary, you could use the tractor to, not to put too fine a point on it, push those cars and other vehicles away?
Well, I would hope I would never get to that situation. That's a very, I suppose that's a very extreme situation. I mean, normally what happens is the people who are parked down there are using the pier, and we have in the past had to use our loudspeaker and had to literally track down people to move vehicles. So normally that's what happens. It's a small pier, Bundoran, which is kind of the problem. There isn't a lot of parking space on it. And, you know, I'm 48 years old now, and in the time I've lived in Bundoran, the pier has just got more and more popular, but there's literally no extra parking space. And, you know, there's surfers using it, there's swimmers using it, there's fishermen using it, there's people launching boats, and indeed there's the lifeboats using it. So there's quite a lot of pressure on the available space there. But the hatch lines are there for a reason. Yeah. It just have to keep them clear.
But I have to say, I mean, and this isn't, I think it stands to reason that obviously priority number one must and should always be the lifeboat. Lifeboat access onto the water is crucial. And God knows, in this county, we know only too well the cost of what can happen when something goes wrong at sea. We've had tragedies in this county, some of them quite recently, some of them going back years. But everyone in this county knows of someone who's lost their lives in the sea. I mean, the importance of the RNLI is beyond compare. When I was looking at this story, actually, Killian, over the weekend, something struck me. Where do you park? Because, as you said, you might be getting the coffee in the shop. You might be at a party. You might be sitting back, relaxing, watching Stranger Things on Netflix at home. Your pager goes off.
Yes.
You hop in your car. You get down to the pier ASAP. Where does your car go?
Well, in that case, we can actually add to the problem in that we end up, in an emergency, we just have to abandon the cars wherever we can stop them as close to the station. As you said, it can happen at any time. And you could have up to 30 crew responding to down, because we need boat crew, we need tractor crew, we need a person on the radio in the station, and we need shore crew. So you can have an awful lot of crew. And we do it on a first-come, first-served basis. So all crew respond, and the first four go out on the boat, and then we might task our shore crew to go out. So there's quite a lot of people arriving. And look, in reality, we've had to abandon cars on the hill. We've had to park up the top. And all that just adds to the amount of time it takes us to respond to the call out. And the Coast Guard, we've agreed with the Coast Guard that we will launch our lifeboat 24/7 to 24/7, 365 days a year to within 10 minutes. So like you said, you're at home watching Netflix, to use your example, and the pager goes off, we have said we will get to the station, get into our PPE equipment, get our boat out of the station and launch it. That's the boat hitting the water within 10 minutes. So anything that causes a 30-second, a 45-second, a one-minute delay, that's just adding to that time. And the reason the RNLA has to be able to respond so quickly, can you imagine if you have a person in the water in difficulty? Like, 10 minutes is actually an eternity in that time. So in our most serious call-outs, where you have an individual in the water in difficulty, time, seconds make a difference. And that's why we need to have a clear run to be able to launch our boat. If I can give you, just to draw a parallel in County Donegal, yeah. I want people to think of fire stations. They would all have the hatch yellow lines outside them too, and they would all have that restricted area. And there's far more fire stations in the country than there are lifeboat stations. And I think everybody from every part of Ireland would be used to the concept of a fire station. You wouldn't dream of parking in front of a fire station. I suspect sometimes what happens is people don't see the lifeboat station. They don't... they don't absorb it when they're parking. But do look out for, there are three RNLA stations in Donegal. There's Aran Island, there's Loch Swilliam, there's Bundoran, but there's also Coast Guard stations as well, up in Mulroy and all. So do look out for those things when you go into pier. Our lifeboat has to be beside the pier. Not every pier is a lifeboat station, but it's just something the public should look out for and be aware of.
And the other thing too is people will know the bigger boats, the ones that you'll see permanently in the water. But as I understand it, your boat isn't necessarily always in the water. Your boat can actually be in the shed and needs to be dragged down to the water by, as you say, by the tractor unit. So just because you don't see a big orange boat in the water beside the RNLA building doesn't mean it's not an RNLA building and it's not fully active 24/7.
Yeah, and actually, in reality, our boat is slower to launch because we have to do all that pulling it out into the hatch line area. Loch Swilly and Armore actually have a boat that's moored out on a mooring buoy, and it's a bit easier to. But even then, on Armore Island, they use a boarding boat, so they even have a little boat that they go out to the big boat. So, listen, there's 46 lifeboat stations, and I think they all launch in about 30 different ways. We have some stations that actually use a davit crane, like in Galway City. So there's quite a difference. But if you see a lifeboat station, just remember there's a lot of equipment. There's about €700,000 worth of equipment in the lifeboat station in Madoran, and it needs to come out quickly and it needs to launch quickly.
And those yellow lines mean under no circumstances. And that's no, no with a big capital N and a big capital O, under no circumstances. Park in there.
And we did actually have a number of call-outs at the weekend there on Friday and Saturday. I mean, the good weather, everyone goes to the coast and they go to our inland waterways, and of course, and there's a beautiful coastline. And I actually think since COVID and since open water swimming has taken off, people are taking advantage of the coastline. But, I mean, just tune into the risks on the coast and the safety around in this good weather. Make sure that you're going to locations that are safe, that the access is correct for going in swimming and for doing whatever water sports you are. And if you are going on the water, bring a mobile phone, bring a radio, because if it does go wrong, you're going to need a lifeboat and you're going to need a means to call for help if you do get into difficulty.
And the message always is to people as well, if you see someone potentially in trouble, if you see something you think is concerning, ring, make contact. Don't sort of say to yourself, oh, it's probably okay, it's probably nothing. If you see something that excites your suspicion that something is wrong out in the water, make that call ASAP. Don't even think about it.
And like, we do talks with schools during the school term, and one of the things I always say to teenagers use their phones a little bit different than maybe me and you and some of the listeners use their phones. But like, I always say to teenagers, you have to make the call. The RNLA is a charity. We are the charity that saves lives at sea. If you make the call and the Coast Guard send us out and we're not needed, it's what we call a call with good intent, no problem. We will go home. We'll wash down the boat. Everyone will go home. But if you wait too long, you can lead to a situation where if you don't ring 999, we might be too late to help that person. So always make the call. And remember, when you're ringing 999, you don't have to make a decision. You have to make a report. You just literally say what you're looking at. So you don't have to decide, does it need a lifeboat, does it need a helicopter, does it need... You tell 999, this is what I'm looking at. And if you're unsure, and I give you an example there, stand-up paddleboarders have had to be rescued a few times, and even our Bundoran boat has had to do a few, and they get blown out to sea depending on the wind conditions. But people will be looking at them going, oh, they're very far out, but I'm sure they're all right because they're still on their stand-up paddleboard. But actually, you should phone the lifeboat, and we'll go out and we'll check on them. If you're checking them and they're okay, no harm done. If you're checking them and they need a lift back in, of course, we're going to bring them back in. So always, always make that call, especially to your young listeners.
Yeah.
Ring 999 or 112 and just say what you see.
Killian, thank you very much indeed. And when it comes to the RNLI, I mean, the respect I have personally for that organisation is huge. And I know the respect everyone has for lifeboats, lifeboat crews. As you say, it's all voluntary. It's hugely important life-saving work. And the message is, look, if you're in the vicinity of an RNLI station and you see those yellow, that just do not park there. Don't block that under any circumstances. Killian, thank you very much indeed. And we wish you all the best. And may the rest of the summer be as quiet as possible.
Okay, thank you, Don.
Killian, thank you. You take care. Bye-bye now. As Killian said there, by the way, there are also the Coast Guard stations, and we did get a statement in from Mulroy Coast Guard, if I can just briefly read this to you. Mulroy Coast Guard have sent us this station, as I say. This statement, the Irish Coast Guard is urging members of the public to respect vital emergency access areas following multiple instances today of vehicles blocking the designated yellow box on the slipway at Downings. Despite clear signage and a public reminder issued earlier on social media, vehicles have again been found obstructing this critical access area, a zone that must remain clear at all times to allow for the rapid launch of our rescue boat during emergencies. We at Mulroy Coast Guard are a voluntary unit made up of local people who give their time to protect others. Over the weekend, the unit responded to two call-outs, one of which was delayed as members attempted to locate the owners of vehicles obstructing the yellow box. The officer in charge, Frankie Boyle, said that access point is not a convenience zone. It's a designated life-saving space. Every second counts during a rescue. A blocked slipway doesn't just slow us down. It could cost someone their life. And that echoes what Killian said to us there as well. So please, under no circumstances, an RNLI station, a Coast Guard station, you see that yellow box, do not, under any circumstances, please, do not park there. We take a break. Now, you may have noticed that there was a football game yesterday in Croke Park, and Donegal won. And there are consequences and ramifications from that victory, and we're going to talk about them now, because delighted to be joined in studio by our head of sport, Oisín Kelly, and another guest as well. We get to Pat in a moment. But Oisín, first of all, a busy weekend, to say the least.
It was a very busy weekend, but it's what? Consequences and ramifications? Is that the terms that you use, Donal?
Consequences and ramifications.
They are more than welcome.
Indeed, they are.
They are more than welcome, so they are. It's fantastic that for just the fourth time in the history of the county, mm-hmm. we're going to an All-Ireland final, and Donegal played exceptionally well yesterday. The performance was stunning, to say the least. Like, I don't think you might have to go back way, way back to when Cavan was winning maybe All-Ireland titles, that mm-hmm. there was a team that won an All-Ireland semi-final by 20 points. That's unheard of, don't
yeah.
it? It's unheard of. And the way they played, particularly at this third quarter and the start of the second half, as us commentators call it, and the goals, that just knocked the stuffing out of Meath yesterday. And the way Donegal took the goals, Oisín Gallan and Kieran Moore and Conor O'Donnell, and they just pounded and pounded away at Meath yesterday. And Meath had no response to it. They tried different things. It wasn't working out for them. And Donegal were just top class, is the best way to describe it.
One of the interesting things, I'm sure from Jim McGuinness's case, one of the really gratifying things from his point of view is a lot of the younger players were stepping up to the plate. I mean, the fact that a 19-year-old took man of the match, I mean, speaks volumes.
But they've been doing that all year, don't they? Obviously, you've Michael Murphy there, you've Ryan McHugh there, experienced players. So Patrick McBurtie, obviously, our captain. But these young boys, like, mm-hmm. we asked the question, how do they still keep that engine going at a full rev count for a full 70 minutes? Because they're doing that. Mm-hmm. But these, Kieran Moore's been man of the match, Shane O'Donnell's been man of the match, Conor O'Donnell's has been man of the match. Listen, young Fumbar Rorty yesterday as well. Fumbar Rorty's been class. No doubt, we spoke mm-hmm. about yesterday at the end. Now, obviously, you're waiting to see how the final goes, but he is in with a shout of Young Footballer of the Year. There's no doubt about it. And he covered every blade of grass yesterday. And again, it was towards the end, still going up and down. How the conditioning and the fitness of Donegal is on a different level. And you could see it yesterday. It was a different level to where Meath were. Meath were just totally out of their depth when it came to that level of fitness and graft that was required yesterday. And a huge part of it is these young boys. We spoke to a few of them. There's loads of reaction mm-hmm. pieces on our website online that you can listen back to. Young Keel McColgan's another man, just under the panel in recent years as well. So these young players have a level of fitness which is unbelievable. It's unreal. So stratosphere stuff. So
absolutely, I'm sure
they're driving this, and it's quite easy for Michael Murphy to give the ball to Kieran Moore, or Conor O'Donnell, or one of these to take off, because when they get going, when they get the legs motoring, Donal, and we watched it yesterday, and every now and then you check yourself and you feel that you're in a privileged position to be where we are in the Hogan stand, to do the job that we do, and we have a bird's eye view the way these guys are playing football. We'd be engrossed in it, so we do. But it was fantastic, and well done to them all. Now this is, we've had a short turnaround for an All Ireland final, but it's a place that you don't get the opportunity to be in very often. And
but still, in all, those young lads went to Croke Park yesterday. They were at the previous match in Croke Park as well. They owned it. They were there. Like, there was you have this perception that young people go to Croke Park. Oh my God, it's Croke Park. Oh, I'm so nervous.
No, doesn't
phase my bottom.
But they were there last year, don't you? You have to remember that. They were there last year.
They were.
And they lost the semi final. So, and Jim McGuinness would have met the group afterwards. I'm speculating this now, but I'm sure that he would have went, right, hang on a minute. Right, we need to defend our Ulster title.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get past an All Ireland semi final. We need to go. We need to improve. If you want to improve, you always want to go one better than you did the year before, if not maybe twofold better. So, and getting past the semi-final stage, and they were hurt last year. They kicked more wides than they did scores. It just was flat. That didn't work out on the day. But by God, it was a different story yesterday. They owned it. So they did. Yeah. They owned that game, and they delivered. And particularly in the second half, they just blew me out of the water.
There was, I mean, the first half there was wides on both sides in the first half, but I mean, it was like they came out in the second, and then Donegal just said, "Here we go, bang, out of sight."
Once they got going, and I know both teams were the same colours yesterday, but like, it was a fantastic atmosphere. And the thing that struck me, and I said it at the start of commentary, and I had the two Brendans alongside me, and I pointed to the screen. Did you see Jim McGuinness in the huddle before the game yesterday? Like, he was energising his team. He was talking to his team. He was giving them all the encouragement, delivering the message, what's needed in this game. I had absolutely no idea what he was saying, but the hairs were standing on the back of our heads watching it on the screen, and all you could hear is the noise of the crowd. You had no idea what he was saying. So, and like, you chat about getting a situation and getting the blood rushing, there's no doubt them boys came out of that huddle and they had the blood rushing for a semi-final and to get over the line.
Right. Let's talk about the road to Croker, because people will not be surprised to hear that there'll be a fair bit of talk now on Highland Radio.
There'll be a fair
over the next 2 weeks. A fair bit of talk
to say
about
least,
this match.
There will be a fair bit of talk.
The road to Croker, Oisín, I mean, we're going for it big time.
We're going for it big time, and you can experience Donegal's journey to the All-Ireland final with Highland Radio now. Obviously, we've had a couple of plans in place over the last few days that have Donegal get it over the line. So here we are. We find ourselves this morning now hitting the green button on the road to Croker experience with Highland, which we're going to kick off All-Ireland final week. This night week, Monday the 21st of July. The venue is the Clanree Hotel, and you can join us for our big match countdown. So basically, it's the first of our shows, and it's going to be a big one. We're going to have an expert panel who are going to digest the lead-up to the All-Ireland final between Donegal and Kerry. We will be confirming our panel now over the next number of hours and couple of days, but I can tell you it's going to be top drawer. So it is. It's going to be an expert panel who will have all the views ahead of this All-Ireland final. And we're also going to throw in some live music as well. David Craig, who's got a Donegal song out, Lee Gooch was playing it this morning. Darren Boot, who's exploded onto the scene in the last number of years.
He did the song with the rally as well.
He done the song with the rally. He has that song, Donegal Has It All.
Mm-hmm.
He's reworked it. And there's now a Donegal GAA song in the back of it.
I suspect there'll be reworks arriving in on Linda's desk every hour for the next week.
It's got its debut on Highland at 8 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So excellent. I've been speaking to Darren over the last couple of days. And he's coming to join our show. And there'll be a few other musical guests as well.
Is there a chance anyone might come over from Lanzarote now?
We'll wait to see. We'll wait to see, Donald.
Shall we say, I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll wait to see. But listen, the tickets are now available. For this mega show, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a fantastic show next Monday night, the 21st, in the Clannery, for the big match countdown to the All-Ireland final. Myself and Brendan Devaney will be teeing it up as hosts, and we say we'll have an expert panel. There'll be fantastic live music. Tickets are at €20, and we will be supporting the Donegal Team Training Fund. And we'll be speaking to Pat McLaughlin in a few moments. We're also supporting the Northwest Special Olympics as well. So my best advice to you is to get your ticket early for Highland Radio's big show next Monday night at the Clannery Hotel. They are now available on our website. go to highlandradio.com for the details there, yeah, and to purchase your ticket priced at 20 euro. And again, we're supporting the Donegal Team Training Fund, and we're also going to support the Northwest Special Olympics, yeah, on the night as well. And to double things up, Donal, you talked about tickets. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be wondering about tickets. How Indeed. Are we going to go about getting the tickets? I can tell you now this morning, the best thing to do is contact your club. More than, yeah, likely, everything's going to come through the clubs. But there will be information going to the clubs if they probably have it already. So they do, but there, mm-hmm, will be lots of information around the tickets for the match. But Highland Radio have two, Donal.
Excellent.
And we're also going to give a stay the night before the match in the Harcourt Hotel in Dublin.
Very good.
And tickets for that draw are now available on highlandradio.com. So you can go to the website as well. You can buy one for €5, or you can buy three for €10. And our prize is two tickets to the All-Ireland football final and an overnight stay in the Harcourt Hotel in Dublin the night before the big match. So again, tickets are €5, mm-hmm, three for a tenner. That might be your best option. Don't only get a ticket for
it might indeed
for the All-Ireland final. And we'll be pulling out the winner of that. The draw will be made the Wednesday before the All-Ireland final, the 23rd of July at 11:45 a.m.
Just want to share a comment that's just come in. Oisin, you are brilliant on commentary. We feel like we're at the match. Thank you on behalf of all the listeners. That's an absolutely true, absolutely true. And also please congratulate Sean Patton on his 100th appearance for Donegal and scoring a point. And he's still so young. Here's to so many more with God's help. That comes from Helen and Mary. So absolutely endorse what you said there about Oisin Connor. A brilliant commentary, as it always is. And we can expect a repeat in 2 weeks' time. Now, as Oisin said, one of the elements of the big match countdown in the Clanree on this night week is support for the GAA Team Training Fund and Northwest Special Olympics. And with that in mind, we're joined in studio by Pat McLaughlin. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
You're heavily involved in Special Olympics, Pat, and next year, from your point of view, is a really important year.
It is. We have a club of athletes who are aiming for the All-Ireland Games in Dublin next year. So the draw is in, I think it's next week. So then we will know how many athletes will be going to All-Ireland.
And it's important because this very much is going to depend on how much money you have at your disposal, how many you can send.
It is, because we have training camps that must be done. So the transport is transport costs and athlete costs for the game. So We're currently looking at such things that we can raise money for, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this is going to be an important way of raising some of those funds, this Highland Radio Big Match Countdown taking place in the Clanree on this night week, Monday, July 21st. But there's other ways, I'm sure, as well. There's going to be fundraising going on around the county and further afield over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, there will be. We're looking at some things ourselves. We've just recently done one. We climbed Mount Errigal. We raised 6,000, which is probably just a pinch of what we actually need. So we managed to get 38 athletes up Mount Errigal, raised Brilliant. Over 6,000. We have other things in the pot just now. So once the club starts back in August, we'll be getting right in there and fundraising till next year.
And it's important too, because so many athletes involved in Special Olympics, I mean, they're ambitious. They want to go to Dublin. They want to go to the Ireland Games. They want definitely. To excel to the best of their ability.
I'm getting phone calls basically every day yeah. for athletes. Have I been selected? Have I been selected? And you just have to wait and see. It's yeah. just the answer, you know, because we don't know right now. It's up to Ulster when the selections happen. Mm-hmm. They will notify us straight away. We notify the athletes. And then it's... Or fast forward with everything, try to raise funds and...
Mm-hmm. And Donegal has a huge tradition in Special Olympics. I mean, Donegal athletes have won medals at All-Irelands, at Worlds, at International Special Olympics, all over the world. Donegal athletes have shown.
Record. Yep, mm-hmm. we do. Most recently, World Games, Vicky, gold medal. All-Ireland Games, and we've just got a new section in golf, who had their maiden tournament last mm-hmm. week, two gold and one silver. They only started in October, yeah. so the achievements are there for the athletes themselves.
Just think, didn't Donegal have a golfer? Was it Oliver, was that his name? A golfer that excelled at games years back.
Yes, yeah. Oliver's back with us.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Great.
Very good, Donald.
Oliver's absolutely fantastic. He's encouraging the younger boys with the golf. He's helping the coaches teach them. And brilliant. Oliver's back involved himself.
Excellent. Oh, that's really good to see. And that really sums up, I suppose, the spirit of what Special Olympics is and what Special Olympics does.
Yep, it does. We have a lot of high-ability athletes who will take time out and help to coach the lower ability, and the progression is brilliant, and you see them coming on every day and every time you train, and they help each other. They're a great bunch. They help each other.
Yeah. Oisin, back to yourself.
Yeah, listen, Pat and the people involved in the Northwest Olympics do fantastic work. So they do, Donal, and they do all the graft in the background to put themselves in a position where their athletes have the best possible opportunity to play sport at the highest level. They give them this opportunity, this golden opportunity to do it. And the last game, they had 9 athletes involved. Like, they're hoping now, like, if they were to get 20 athletes involved next
fantastic.
Year, which is quite possible, Pat.
Which is quite possible.
If they were to do that, that would be a phenomenal achievement. But then there is a cost with that. So there's a lot of money involved in not just having them participate in All-Ireland games, but getting them to a level where they can, and it's the day to day stuff, the week to week, the month to month, the transport costs, the bus costs, the equipment, because these guys aren't government funded. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no big massive checks coming down the road to them. The majority of the money that they get is all self raised. Yeah. So it is. So we thought, listen, we'll jump on board here with Pat and the gang, and do our small bit.
Yeah. And the work that's been done at the vestry in Letterkenny is just stunning.
Yeah.
There's an amazing work that's been done at the vestry and all across the county. So much is being done. Yeah. Folks, look, here's the deal. There is going to be so much talk about this
We started talking about how we were going to kick it off, and we never actually told you how we were going to finish it.
Well, I'm assuming we're going to finish it with the cup, the Sam Maguire coming back to
Donegal Town. That is the ultimate goal.
Yes,
and fingers crossed that happens, and what an achievement that would be. But it's going to be the week leading up to it, and if we win it the week after it, will be exceptional times.
Week? Month?
Months.
Actually, let's be honest about this.
We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but what we do know is that it's something that we all have to enjoy. And Highland Radio are getting behind this, and we are supporting the Northwest Special Olympics, and we're also supporting the Donegal team training fund as well. And it all kicks off. You can experience All-Ireland Final Week with us on our road to Croker in the days leading up to the game, and it's all kicking off on Monday the 21st, that's this day week, in the Clannery Hotel with their big match countdown. Myself and Brendan Devaney will be hosting a show that will have, believe me, a top-class expert panel for this gig. We'll also have brilliant live music, David Craig and Darren Boot. And if you do come as well, we're going to treat a couple of people who come in, because we're going to have a couple of Michael Murphy Sports Donegal goodie bags to give away on the night. Plus there'll be a few other things thrown into them as well. Get your tickets early, okay? They are now on sale on our website, highlandradio.com. And they are priced at €20. Not forgetting about the draw, Donal. Mm-hmm. We have 2 All-Ireland final tickets and an overnight stay in Dublin at the Harcourt Hotel the night before the game, up for grabs. One lucky winner will win that. You can take whoever you want, because there's 2 tickets there, and it's going to be a double room as well. And you'll be staying at the Harcourt. Tickets are priced at just €5, or you can buy 3 for a tenner, and they can be bought now also on our website, highlandradio.com, and that draw is now active. It is now open, and we will be pulling the winner out on Wednesday, the 23rd of July.
There will be people asking, are they available over the phone and in person as well?
I'm sure the garage out front can assist.
I'll double check that outside.
Yeah, we'll double check that out. I'm sure they can. They always do anyway.
Uh-huh.
But they are available now. Go to our website. There's Bronwyn waving. Saying,
no,
of course you will. Look at it. We've got a camera out in the hall. We'll tell our listeners one thing. And
Bronwyn has a wonderfully expressive face.
Yeah. So,
hello, Bronwyn.
I am joking now.
Yeah. So, HighlandRadio.com, get your tickets for that. 2 All-Ireland final tickets and an overnight stay in Dublin. It could be your only way to get a ticket for the big game. Then, Donal, the weekend of the final. Mm-hmm. We are going to be in the capital. We will be in Dublin talking to Donegal supporters. Like, you have to bear in mind too, Donal, the sheer volume of people that are going to come home for this. Brendan Kilcoyne mentioned it yesterday at the end of the game, so passionately about what it means for Donegal to get to an All-Ireland final, the amount of people that are away from home, the amount of texts and calls and messages that we get from people away from home who are now today going, right, I have to get back to Donegal, I have to get back to Dublin, I have to come home for this. Even as far as Vietnam, as Brendan said yesterday in the commentary. So they're all coming back, and we're going to be stuck in the middle of them in Dublin. And we're going to the Hardcourt Hotel, into the D2. We will have a broadcast and up for the match the night before, the Saturday evening, in Dublin, where we'll speak to supporters and we'll be chatting to a number of football people as well. And then the morning of the match on the Sunday, we'll also have a special All-Ireland Final brunch show coming live from the Bonnington Hotel, just up above Croke Park. Of course, there's huge Donegal connections there. So we're going to be inviting Donegal supporters to come down, fuel up for the match, get your breakfast. We'll be in the function room on stage. We'll have a live show from there. Greg Hughes will be sitting there. And we'll have Donegal music. We might have a bit of live music, a bit of banter with the fans. And you can get fed as well. Sure you can. You'll be able to get your breakfast before you head down to Croke Park for the big final. Then we'll have the match live, obviously. Mm-hmm. And fingers crossed.
Amen.
After that.
Do you get to go to the banquet?
If we get our... I've most definitely don't know. If we get our hands in that... if we can get our hands in that Sam Maguire. You'd be the other end of it doesn't happen. You support them all the way.
Of course.
So you do. You support them all the way. But... this is so exciting, Donal, that we, as I said at the start, we don't get this opportunity very often. 92, 2012.
And 2014.
In 2014. And we owe Kerry one from that
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. And you know, I've no doubt.
There's a general sense of supporters, that's the one that got away.
I have no doubt after yesterday, people in Kerry were watching that match and they were a lot more uncomfortable after the match than they may have been before it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd say a lot of chickens came home and they went, oh dear.
So that's our plans, Donal. It's a big week. It kicks off next Monday, the 21st. All the information is online, hindradio.com. Get your tickets now, €20 for our big match countdown at the Clannery Hotel with a panel of music, and also now live up for grabs to All-Ireland Final tickets and an overnight stay in Dublin, All-Ireland Final weekend. All details on the web.
And we'll repeat those details later in the show. For the moment, Oisín, Pat, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Donal.